I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on the radio 1 till 4. After 4, you go to the iHeart app and you can hear the podcast, John and Ken on demand.
Yeah, and in 15 minutes, another keyword is coming out. Your chance at $1,000. It's the KFI Inflation Compensation Contest. We do it every other hour on the show, which means around 3:20, that word will be revealed. Follow the instructions for your shot at some cash. All right, we're going to update you now on the battle, which really is important because what happens here could be duplicated around the state.
We're talking about
the state trying to take over building and housing decisions in local communities.
This is war on suburbia. This is war on single-family homes. War on you if you have two cars and a swimming pool and a lawn and a single-family house. All the progressive a-holes in Sacramento hate you, and they hate your lifestyle. And so Newsom and the Attorney General Rob Bonta are trying to force a town like Huntington Beach to build 13,000 plus units. They want to bring an urban landscape to a suburban beach town. And the officials in Huntington Beach are fighting bitterly.
Nearly 6,000 of them have to be what's called affordable housing units.
It's a Republican majority town. And Newsom tries to punish Republican towns. If you remember his war against Orange County at the start of the pandemic, where he banned beachgoers.
He couldn't walk on the beach. Saw too many people close together.
But right. Only in Orange County. Remember?
How stupid that all looks now.
I know. Because he's... Well. Let's go now to a man we've had on the show many times. His name is Michael Gates.
City attorney.
The city attorney. Michael, how are you?
Good, John and Ken. How are you?
Good. So what is it that Bonta and Newsom are trying to do? They're amending their lawsuit to try to do something to Huntington Beach and building permits?
Yeah, you had me on a few weeks ago to talk about their first lawsuit against Huntington Beach, basically picking on Huntington Beach for trying to slow the process of ADU application processing and also SB9. The city made an adjustment and is processing them fully again. So the entire lawsuit was mooted with the city council's action. But oddly, the state announced just a couple of days ago that they're going to amend their lawsuit. And now they're going to add housing element violation or housing law violation based on not having a certified housing element. This is interesting because this new grievance or new complaint that they're now lodging is an entirely new lawsuit. It's based on an entirely different set of housing laws. And procedurally, they can't simply amend the former lawsuit. They have to file a brand new lawsuit, and that is significant because we also have a federal lawsuit. The city of Huntington Beach sued the state of California over the regional housing needs assessment or affordable housing laws and the way they're being applied to Huntington Beach. And that lawsuit is moving forward in the federal courts. For the state to do what they're doing or filed to try to do a couple days ago, it's basically saying, hey, we don't want to be in the federal court. We don't like the city's lawsuit on these very same issues. We're going to amend our old lawsuit that's now moot and try to shoehorn this issue into state court. So basically what the state's doing is they're gaming the system, or they're trying to, and we're not going to let them. They're gaming the system to forum shop. They think it's a more favorable forum to be in state court than federal court, which is just, it's crazy. It's ludicrous. And then all these press conferences and all these press releases, I mean, the really clearly Attorney General Bonta at the behest of Newsom is trying to influence potential jurors who might decide this case or potential judges who might decide this case, because they're trying to win this messaging through kind of the public forum. And these are legal issues that are already teed up in court. And really, they should spend their time in court duking it out in front of a judge or a jury, and not with these press releases every other week about how they're going to pick on Huntington Beach again. And remember, too, there's as many as 280 other cities up and down the state of California that are also out of compliance. So there are 280 cities out of 482 that are out of compliance, yet Newsom and Bonta have their sights on Huntington Beach, and they're going after us only.
Yeah, it is really a bullying situation. So they want to suspend your ability to issue building permits. They can do that?
Well, that's one of the things that they're claiming as part of their lawsuit. But a lot of these penalties that they're citing wouldn't even be considered until a federal judge or a state judge, whoever it's in front of, were to decide, yeah, the state is out of compliance. But we're going to fight back. I mean, there's a whole host of reasons why we're doing what we're doing and why the city council is doing what it has done, because we are a charter city and we actually do have local control over our zoning authority. That comes from the California Constitution. So we're going to fight this. We're not going to roll over and take it from the state. I mean, we're fighting back. And until a judge tells us you can't fight back anymore, the state authority has preempted you, those types of penalties wouldn't issue anyway.
How this threat legally, is there a legitimate chance the state could win this? I know you're fighting it, and you're fighting it, and you're delaying it. But ultimately, is the law written the way you say it's written?
The laws are very, very, very overreaching, and they're trying to stamp out any local control over zoning, because basically at the end of the day, the state has created HCD to control local zoning. That's preemptive authority, and the state's going to have to prove they have preemptive authority to a judge or to a jury. Our argument is going to be, we have charter city authority from the California Constitution, and that charter city authority, if you go back and look, it says that that authority supersedes even interference from the state legislature. So we believe that we are right. The state believes, obviously, that they are right, but you can't have preemptive authority if you're exempting or giving your hometown special treatment. Marin County, where Newsom's from, doesn't have to deal with these housing mandates. Can you believe that? Marin County does not have to deal with these housing mandates.
My guess is that they're coming after you because you guys have been the most defiant. If they can break you, the others might come in line that you cited. That's what I think
That could be their thought, but I'm going to tell you something. Huntington Beach is the 24th largest city in the state of 482 cities, and we're the fourth largest in the County of Orange. We're not small, and we're not going away. And I can tell you, one thing, we are not intimidated or deterred by these press releases from Bonta. He can issue one every other week. I can come on your show every other week. Happy to talk to you guys and let you know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But there is zero intimidation or deterrence going on here. We're going to fight this every step of the way. We have to save Huntington Beach. And if we can't do this here and now, we are absolutely going to get steamrolled by the state. And Huntington Beach won't just be populated with additional affordable housing. That's not the scheme. What they want to do is they want to completely redevelop Huntington Beach into a place like San Francisco, and we're not going to let that happen.
Yeah. All right, Michael Gates, thank you so much for talking to us once again. Keep up the fight.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, City Attorney for Huntington Beach, Michael Gates, as they continue to tell the state to stuff it in demanding that they build over 13,000 new homes.
And if you live in a single-family suburban town, you're at risk. because there's 99 other Southern California cities and counties that have not adopted the new housing plan that the state is insisting on. And the Huntington Beach situation is a test case. And
I think this will end up in the state Supreme Court, because what we're talking about here is pretty big, that the state basically is taking over housing decisions. And their argument is there's not enough housing and these communities won't do it, won't build it. We're going to have to take over and get it built.
This is hate and discrimination from progressive left-wing fanatics. They hate the suburban lifestyle. They really do. They of course, I mean, Newsom lives in a suburban situation, right?
Right.
But all these San Francisco-style progressives, they want you to live in apartments and condos. They want you to take public transit and risk getting stabbed in a BART train. That's their lifestyle. They don't want you using. They don't want you growing grass or having a pool because that uses water. They don't want you driving a car any particular distance because that uses gasoline. And it is a cult. It is fanaticism, and they hate you. And God forbid you're suburban and you're conservative. They double hate you.
All right, coming up next, your chance at some money. KFI's inflation compensation contest is next. KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, we talked earlier in the show about the closure of a major Whole Foods grocery store in San Francisco's Tenderloin District. Just 1 year after it opened, they've announced that it's going to close, acting like it's temporary, and it's for the safety of customers and employees. We all know what that means. It's crawling with drug addicts and other various homeless people.
I can't get out of my head that all 250 baskets were stolen from this Whole Foods. That's 250 separate crimes.
Yeah, I thought some stores put something on it so you can't get it past.
At the Ralph's,
if you lift it,
at the Ralph's I go to, there's a force field, you try to roll it out of the parking lot, it locks.
Yeah, that's what I thought they did. Right?
Because I tried to do it. I wanted to see how it works, so I rolled it all the way to the parking lot edge to get it into the street. Wouldn't go. You would have to physically lift the cart in the air, which is very difficult.
They're pretty heavy, but if you have a couple of homeless guys together, they can probably carry it away. If they did do that, I don't know if they did.
They don't
have parking lots at this Whole Foods in San Francisco. It's big city streets.
I don't see shopping carts much anymore.
Oh, I do. You don't?
Not where I am, no. Not since the Ralph's put up the force field, no.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got plenty
and,
more.
And the other store I go to, which is more of a local grocery store, they have a security guard. And he stands glaring at everybody.
Because you live on the horrible L.A.'s West Side and
right.
L.A. City stuff. So, related to this, from the same city of San Francisco, apparently at least one Starbucks has removed all the seating. Indoor and outdoor seating. Now, that's a big deal because if you've ever gone past most Starbucks, there's always some geek in there with a laptop. Working away because
can't afford an office.
He's got roommates at home that are bothering him or a girlfriend or somebody. So he sits there at the Starbucks with his little AirPods in his ears working away. But the problem would be different for many locations in San Francisco. It's so that the homeless don't come in and spend all day smelling up the place.
Yeah. And so the Starbucks, now they're deciding they're just going to close their restrooms and get rid of the seating. And people just only can walk up, order their coffee to go, and then they'll get out of there.
Might as well just have a drive-through.
Yeah.
Even though they don't like those in a lot of places. Because it annoys these cars and their pollution.
Well, you know what?
I know. There are towns here, when I live in the Bay, they don't permit drive-through. They don't. It's the neighbors raise all holy hell. A drive-through. We're going to hear horns and lights flashing on my windows and cars. Jeez. And exhaust. I know. Everybody's got a problem.
You know what? Yeah, they're Asiago people.
They're
terrible what they are.
Well, of course, some people already posted, this is classist and ableist.
Yeah, that doesn't play anymore. People don't even know what those words mean. Yes, they're trying to keep homeless people out. And you can come up with any phrase or ist phrase you want. But normal people don't put up with this filth. I sense the tide is very slowly turning.
And what would they do seeing, if you walked in there with a fold-out chair and just set up your own little...
you're probably going to be asked to leave.
A barista at the location in San Francisco, John loves that word.
Yeah, barista.
Kyle Trainer said he believed that they eliminated the seating due to homeless individuals and people with mental illness around the neighborhood. He added that Starbucks does not adequately train team members to manage stressful situations, and the chain would rather remove the seating, close the bathroom, and just not deal with it.
Oh, this is a woke male coffee pourer, okay? Can you imagine a grown man, and he's reached his lifelong dream of making coffee drinks.
A barista.
And now he has a chance to get on a soapbox and proclaim that, well, the Starbucks is not training us properly. Nobody wants to be trained to deal with a mental patient who might have a pocket knife.
This was a story here a couple of years ago. Remember, Starbucks closed a couple of locations in L.A.
But Starbucks is in the business of selling coffee, you bozo. They're not in the business.
Did you see what else he said? Starbucks is attempting to remove the issues of homeless and mental illness from stores.
Yes,
instead of exploring more productive and caring options regarding these issues, they'd rather take the easy way out regardless of how their customers or workers feel.
It's not a mental health center.
It's
a place to buy coffee, you dope. It shows you the IQ of somebody who accepts a coffee pouring job for a living, huh? They're easily confused. Nowhere in Starbucks' business plan is that they're going to turn into a mental health and drug rehabilitation center.
They're going to hire ambassadors.
There's no productive...
Mental health teams are going to come to the Starbucks and deal with the mentally ill.
Somebody tell this Kyle, it's like, here's the business plan. You walk up, they'll pour you coffee, you take the coffee and you leave after paying. That's the extent of the business. It's not their job to rehabilitate all these people with all their childhood issues and addictions. And I mean, all these people have been thrown out of their families' homes.
Yep.
After selling their mother's jewelry.
One worker told the San Francisco Gate in this story that, well, it was a regional directive from somebody named Nima Ramirez. They told us to eliminate the chairs. We had no say in whether or not they could keep our seating. We're fighting to get the seats back.
Yeah, because you don't work. You don't own the place. No. You don't manage the place.
You don't pour suffer coffee. The damage and it drives people off.
That's right. You don't have a financial investment because it costs money when the furniture gets damaged. It costs money when normal people are repelled and they're afraid to come in. You can buy coffee in a million places. You don't have to go to that specific Starbucks and deal with stinking guy leering at you with a needle sticking out of his arm.
All right, we got more coming up. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
They get trained to even think that way.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yo, we got the voice line coming back. It's your first warning of the week to get your messages in there for consideration. Use the iHeartRadio app. The microphone icon is your way to connect to the voice line through the app. Or call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, this story, it shouldn't astonish you, but and we've covered stories like this before. The 58-mile San Gabriel River flows southward through Los Angeles and Orange County. It starts in the San Gabriel Mountains and it empties into the Pacific Ocean between the cities of Long Beach and Seal Beach. The land along the river is maintained by the L.A. District for Flood Risk Management. And the story is that apparently they had to do a big cleanup in March of the a big stretch of the San Gabriel River. In fact, it involved the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, their Los Angeles district. I used to hear about them, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They went in there and they had to clean up the debris. Now, it is a lot of homeless stuff. You probably guessed that already. Homeless people love to set up encampments, not only in your public park and sometimes on your sidewalk, but they do like to go to riverbeds. They like to go, I don't really know why. I guess it's quieter there. They feel like they'll be less disturbed. Like they like to camp under freeway overpasses and underpasses.
Yeah, because they are. They're left alone. The public's always giving them a hard time. The police are giving them a hard time. So, you know, you can do your drugs under a tree.
I guess so. And there's a little bit of shade. And even though it's a cement river for the most part.
Catch a squirrel and skin it.
The picture here is a senior park ranger by the name of Robert Moreno, who's with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers L.A. District. He's looking at an area where trash was dumped next to what's called Reach 12 of the San Gabriel River. This happened on March 6th. This is near Azusa, just to give you an idea of where this. They cleared 144 tons of litter and debris in this stretch of the San Gabriel Valley River that they cleaned up. They spent about a week there.
It's 288,000 pounds of garbage. Imagine 288,000 pounds.
Some of it was from the rain, which washes stuff down the riverbed.
It washes other homeless encampment debris down the riverbed.
It could be. I mean, when you're looking at the pictures here, I'm seeing shopping carts and bicycles that homeless people, looks like a stovetop or.
When you go to rivers in a national park, for example, or out in a rural area, you don't see this. This is homeless stuff. 288,000 pounds. Oh, my God. And I cannot believe all the environmental wackos never, ever say boo about this.
Oh, yeah. They nitpick over every environment. You want to build something? Oh, they're right in your face.
Can you imagine
this? Desecration of the environment? You never hear anything.
Imagine you were a company.
Because these are a protected class of people to them.
You had a business plan, and part of the business plan is you're going to build your factory on the river, and you're going to dump 288,000 pounds of factory garbage. Yeah, how long would that last before you'd be in court? About 20 minutes?
They found aerosol paint cans, propane tanks, gasoline cans. They even dragged out a king-size waterbed from the river.
Oh, that's disgusting.
In announcing the cleanup, officials emphasized that any unhoused people living in the riverbed were given 72 hours notice before the work commenced. But they cautioned that the lands for homeless encampments is prohibited by the agency's regulations. Yeah, that's enforced.
What are they going to enforce it?
They don't enforce it.
And then how?
They just come through every few years, particularly after these heavy rains, and say, all right, we're going to clean up finally. The people will be right back in there.
They got the 288,000 pounds in 7 days?
7 days.
7 days.
It filled 18 40-cubic-yard dumpsters.
That's 40,000 pounds of trash a day that they collected. That is so disgusting and gross. That is intolerable.
Now, are we going to get a lawsuit because this is their people's personal goods and they were swept away here by the cleanup?
Oh, too bad.
That was a valuable waterbed?
No. Yeah, right. We just left it behind in the river.
Azusa police had to go out there with the county animal care and something called the major case unit to take a look and to make sure the encampment was unoccupied, make sure there weren't even any pets, anything, and to document the remnants. Oh, you see, they did. They probably took down what they were removing just in case somebody comes back and says, I want that. I don't know where it ended up.
I wish that the governments would get really aggressive and say, you know what? We burned all of it. It's all gone. Okay? You weren't responsible. You don't. Normal people don't leave belongings out in public. So it's all gone now. You'll never have any proof. Bye-bye.
Another statement.
Treat them like
the
adults.
Officials. While the focus is on removing floatable debris from the flood risk management project and decreasing associated fire risks, it's important to note that illegally domiciling in a river is very dangerous.
Illegally domiciling?
Yeah, we domiciling? Know that because domiciling, yes.
Illegally domiciling. What yes. child grows up to use a phrase like illegally domiciling? Where do they learn this?
We talked about this stretch. I remember last month they had to rescue 8 people mm-hmm. and 8 dogs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
Because of mm-hmm. the heavy rain sweeping through. This is March 13th in Azusa.
And, yeah, I remember that story because I was watching Channel 4 and they didn't want to admit but, that.
Was this the people that were on like people. An island or something in the riverbed or in the river?
I don't remember. They didn't want to describe them as homeless people on Channel 4, though.
They did. They appeared to be.
They had a woke episode. And I'm sitting there thinking, come on, admit it, say it. Normal people don't get caught in floodwaters because they don't live in rivers or riverbeds.
And so much of this story in the San Gabriel Valley Tribune is about officials. Just we were very sensitive to people that were there. We wanted to make
always
sure they
on
were
defense.
Safe.
Yeah, always on defense.
Right, because the activists will come after us.
So you have to get aggressive against the activists. I don't know why they're afraid of them. What do they think's going to happen if you start shouting back at them? Start saying no to them. Start doing the stuff that makes them upset. They don't have real power. They don't. Stop getting intimidated by them.
All right. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Anything you missed today, you can hear on the podcast. John and Ken on demand.
Couple of quick stories here to end the show. I just found this one really funny. Walmart apparently didn't do a very good job of, how do I put it, proofreading. They were selling a T-shirt, which was, well, the keywords were recycle, reuse, renew, rethink. Something along the lines of, the environment and green. Except what they did on the front of the shirt is they had R-E-R-E-R-E-R-E. And then they lined up next to it the rest of the words. So it was cycle, use, new, and think. But apparently if you look at the shirt and you start reading the words like a crossword puzzle, rather than across, down.
Mm-hmm. C for cycle, U for use, N for new, T for think.
And that spells out one dirty word.
Yeah.
And it's more obvious because it's the first letter in the half of those words. There's a big R-E, and then you see cycle, use, new, and think. And you see C, yeah, you, yep.
So, wait, who got upset?
Someone noticed that right away and pointed it out. They've recalled the T-shirts.
Who got upset about that?
I guess somebody who shopped at Walmart and saw the shirt on display.
Who noticed it? Because I could look at a shirt like that for 100 years and never even notice that.
It took me a moment, and I thought, oh, yeah, I do see that.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. So what happens when you see it? I mean,
it's offensive to somebody.
Does your hair fall out? Do you lose control of your bowels? I mean, what?
You know how corporations are. They don't want any complaints. It's very bothersome. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs.
Unless they're promoting woke issues, then they're not bothered.
Goldman Sachs, speaking of woke issues, is distributing a pamphlet to employees. It was drafted by one of their internal groups, which represents the LGBT community. What happened to Q? I thought questioning was part of it. Some of them leave out some of the letters. Anyway, it wants everybody to start thinking about using gender-neutral pronouns. And the ones that were referenced here...
I'm up late at night worried about that.
Or a couple that you just never see, although I've seen them a couple times in news stories. And these pronouns are Z-E and Z-I-R.
Z-E.
Wouldn't that be in place of he and Z-I-R is in
no,
place of her?
No, that's... well,
but that sounds like what it is. But that would defeat the idea.
Yeah, but that is a different category of sexuality. One which you may or may not understand. This came out of the Stanford. Remember Stanford University?
Yeah,
had a publication.
Vaguely.
Yeah, we talked about it briefly.
The Stanford Review. It was an employee guide, first publicized by Stanford University's newspaper, the Stanford Review. Replace gendered language with gender-inclusive language wherever possible.
See, they
don't say hi, guys. Say hi, all.
Because there's, you know, a 1 in 500 chance that you have somebody who doesn't call themselves a guy or a girl, and somehow they will get...
You think it's that low, 1 in 500?
Yeah, in a lot of places.
I think it's 1 in thousands.
Oh, okay, 1 in thousands. I mean, I just made up a number. But it's very rare. And I don't think there's any reason that you can't use the words that would comfortably address 99% of the public. Like here's the thing. They're gender neutral. They're neither he or she. Here are examples.
But this could be better than they and them. I don't like the plural.
Oh, no. The plural references to singular people have got to go. Because it makes no sense. It's very confusing. All right, here's the examples. Z-E went to the store. I spoke with Zer. I spoke with Zem. The apple was Zer's. The apple was Z's. Instead of the apple was his or hers, it was Zer's or Z's.
I see.
Yes.
I saw that sentence. I'm like, what does that mean? The apple was Zer's.
Goldman Sachs offered eight.
The apple was Zerlicious.
The Goldman Sachs offered 8 tips for being an inclusive ally with suggestions such as no assumptions, be proactive, handling mistakes, recognize that some people may go by multiple sets of pronouns. No! You can't do that. You can't go by multiple sets of pronouns and then get mad when somebody doesn't use the right pronoun. No!
Would somebody play a tape of this 30 years from now, us talk about this and laugh at us as just being dinosaurs? Or will this all just go away as something silly?
Well, they're going to laugh at us for being silly. Yeah, I think silly. This is never going to catch on. And you're never going to force and bully people into doing this.
I guess there'll always be a few people who want this, but you're right.
Most people reject this, but the few people who are trying to push it have a big microphone. And they're shouting all the time on social media or regular media about it. And it makes you think like there's this big monolithic
movement. Yeah.
Movement. There isn't. You try it out. Try it out with 10 of your friends. They'll all stare at you or laugh.
But we're a nation that protects the individual. And the individual's...
Jesus, it's a pronoun. Live with it. You're never going to get people to twist themselves into pretzels over pronouns. Conway's here.
And Mark Thompson,
listen, don't forget me, please. I'm over here in the corner.
Skeeters are going to be the worst in decades. Mosquito season. It's going to be horrible.
Yeah, because all the water.
That's right. Back to you, Mark. Yeah. And then spring allergy season is going to be the worst.
Because all the water.
Yeah. And drought's sort of going away.
It's good you're here today.
Because all the water.
He'd be lost without you.
And then the LAPD announced arrest after the Islamic Center in Koreatown was defaced over the weekend. There's been an arrest.
Because of all the water.
Water has nothing to do with it.
No. Ah, darn it.
And,
you need water to wash off the...
That's true. Yeah, that's good, actually.
That's right.
Tie water to everything.
Delayed credit. For you.
And then we're going to war against China, I guess, this weekend.
Good. That'll lie things
that up. Can't be over water.
Yeah. No,
it's on the water, maybe.
Some of it will be over water, yeah. But it looks like that's inevitable. And here's the way.
It looks like he declares war with China. Maybe it's like the last thing he said.
And now for more political analysis.
It's gonna happen. Inevitable, everybody.
And then there's going to be a false flag in North Korea. They're going to attack South Korea, so we'd have to go to the defense of South Korea, which would distract us from saving Taiwan.
You know what?
Wow.
We should
fire this guy. He's now an international...
He's
found the YouTube channel he loves.
And when this all happens, you'll be like, wow, that guy, unbelievable.
Yeah, you are.
I knew it all.
Woo!
All right, well, that's exciting.
It's a narrative.
So why are you bothering even
it
the show
It seems silly
for
to say ding-dong with all this serious stuff. Yeah.
That's what the war is going to be called, two wars. China, Taiwan, and then North Korea, South Korea.
Which side are you on?
I don't know. I haven't picked yet. But so they're going to be called the ding-dong wars.
The ding-dong wars.
Oh, wow. It's nice that they branded it already.
Can you bet on wars?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Are they taking money on
Ukraine? There are no good bets on wars.
Ukraine, Russia, how's that going?
Wars are... But you can bet on almost anything though online.
Can.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Conway's
here. Like you can bet that this show is not going to be that interesting.
Wow.
Oh wow. I'll put money on that.
Yeah.
Well,
Mark, go to the window.
Between the war and that
and the water.
Yeah, and that tease, I want out of here.
All right, Conway Thompson.
Yeah.
Don't expect
Let's
too much.
Go. No. They're going to do it. They're bringing it.
Crozier has
get what
the
you
news.
Pay for.
Live in 24-hour KFI newsroom.
All right.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.